had another meeting, and I just came running out of that, so I want to apologize to everybody for just a few minutes late, about 4 minutes. So, welcome everybody. Glad you're here today. Today is February the 23rd, and we're here for the Technical Advisory Committee meeting. So, we traditionally, we go around the room and introduce ourselves, and so why don't we just go with Bethany.
I'm Bethany Wild with Kiova.
Kent Sowers, Ray Hall Transportation Institute.
Welcome. Sean Ringel Smith of HWA.
Okay.
Brad Johnson with HMB.
Brianna Shallon, the city planner for Huntington.
Welcome. Mike Dean, Orange County Transit.
Rob Watson, West Virginia Division of Highways Planning.
Kevin Sullivan, West Virginia DOH Planning.
Okay, if we can start up here.
Randy Wheeler, City of Asheville.
Welcome, Randy.
Michael Adela with Northia.
Jim Ensco, City of Hunt.
Thomas Witt, KYTC, Planning.
Scott Thompson, Light Office of Planning.
Patrick White, Orange County Engineer.
Well, Randy Stradley, the
Hi, Randy.
No problem. Brent Wills, KYTC District 9 Planning.
Judy Sigmund, Coyote.
Paul Young, Coyote.
Doug Rice of the Regional Intergovernmental Council. Charleston.
Hi, Doug.
Hi, Paul.
Good to see you.
Kelly Ward, Bobco.
Alex Vanderpool, Boyd County.
Jennifer Woodall, Tri-State Transit Authority. Terry Sicking, Kiova.
Salim Salami, Kiova.
And I'm Paul Davis, and I'm with Tri-State Transit Authority, TTA. Okay, well, number two on our agenda is a motion to approve the minutes from the previous meeting as distributed. I think you have your minutes in your packet. And I believe they were distributed ahead of time by email. Don't be shy about making a motion. All right, it's been properly moved, and we have a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Thank you. Item number three, FY 2015 Kiova Transportation Studies Update. Allison, you're up.
Thanks, Paul. So thanks for the opportunity to just recap where we are on a few different planning efforts right now. First, just wanted to update you on kind of the status of all of our projects. We have completed a few of our various projects, the decision support system, Harris Riverfront study, and the Ironton multimodal parking study have been completed with final deliverables given to Kiova. We also have two different studies and plans in the draft stage right now. The Boyd and Greenup County's non-motorized plan has been distributed to Kiova for review, as has the Ashland parking study. So we will be working on finalizing those two efforts in the coming month here. Just real quick on the Boyd and Greenup County's non-motorized plan. There has been a significant documentation effort that's taken place in between the last time that I spoke with this group. So I just wanted to feature some of the components that are a portion of that draft plan that you guys will be ultimately seeing as it goes to final. We obviously have a set of network recommendations for both walking and biking within the two-county area. We also have a complement of policy recommendations. They look at policies as well as various programs that could be explored in the area, and then supporting non-motorized recommendations, which are really more like ancillary facilities that can just further improve the bicycle and pedestrian travel experience. That is complemented by an implementation and financing plan. And then there is a discussion of priority projects that goes into a little bit of detail about what the recommended next steps could be, and then attempts to assign a time frame as far as what level of priorities that we're talking about. And then we also have a series of exemplary projects, and I included an image from one of those to the right on the slide, where we're actually looking at kind of before and after, a discussion of what the issues might be and potential solutions accompanied by a rendering. So those are all components of the plan, again, that is in draft. So moving on, first off, I'll pause. Are there any questions about any of the either completed or draft projects as of now? Okay, moving on to our ongoing projects. We have five projects that are still ongoing. Our travel van model update, Huntington Tri-State Airport Access Road Study, a non-motorized plan for the city of Huntington, as well as the Boyd and Greenup County's transit study and our SHARP 2 process, of which many of you all have been a part. So just to quickly update you on those various planning efforts, our travel demand model update is moving along well. This month, in the next week or so, we will have draft model information going to Cuyahoga, as well as some of our review agencies, to have everybody begin to look that over in preparation for model calibration and validation, which will be happening in March timeframe. Looking forward on the model element, we will be working with Cuyahoga to identify dates for the model training. And then also, we anticipate having a couple additional efforts coordinating with the NTT update that Cuyahoga is working on right now for the travel demand model integration into that process. The Huntington Tri-State Airport Access Road Study. At this point, we are collecting background data and base mapping. We have all of that assembled at this point. We have established a steering committee specific to that project, and we will be meeting with them on March the 8th for an on-site meeting that will also include a review of the data that has been gathered, as well as a site visit with that group. And you'll see some of the dates that I'm getting ready to talk about in this presentation are also listed in the agenda for today. The City of Huntington non-motorized plan. Right now, one of the opportunities that I think we have is exciting for this is that there is the ongoing LIDAR data gathering efforts. The data has actually been collected at this point. It is in processing, and we are coordinating with both the consultant as well as West Virginia DOH. To understand the types of data that are available as a part of that data collection effort. We have also established a steering committee for that group, and we will be meeting on March the 8th, so big day, March the 8th, two different meetings, for a kickoff with our steering committee, where we are hopefully going to be able to review the data that's been gathered up until now, as well as outstanding issues with our data, and just getting a little bit of a gut check from our steering committee members so that we're on the right track in terms of the information that we have. And then this will also be an opportunity for us to coordinate with PASS. PASS has their own efforts going on right now with their master plan development, and so this is a great opportunity to synchronize those two efforts and make sure that they are complementing each other. Next up, the Boyd and Greenup County's transit study. At this point, we have gathered our base data and reviewed existing transit plans for the area. So right now, we are working on our existing conditions reporting for this study. We've also developed a rider survey and agency survey. So one of the things that we talked about doing as a part of this plan is just gaining a little bit better understanding of who we're trying to serve and what the issues are. So we have developed those two survey instruments, and we will be coordinating in the coming weeks about how best to administer those two surveys. So finally, we have established a steering committee also for this project, and we will be meeting on March the 22nd with that group to review our existing conditions and then talk about the survey progress. And then finally, our SHARP 2 performance measurement process. The workshop that we had in November, the results of that have been summarized and processed. We're working right now on our development of draft performance measures, and we will be recapping where we stand up until now in a March 16th conversation with the FHWA review team. And then our next steps for that, we envision the SHARP 2 process folding in to the Metropolitan Transportation Plan update as well. So we will be working with Cuyahoga to understand the best ways that we can take the results of that and feed them directly in to the prioritization process that's happening as a part of that plan. So that, I think, wrapped up all of the various different projects. Are there any questions on any of those different projects? I know that was a lot of information fairly quickly. Okay, well, thank you guys for the opportunity to present today. I appreciate it.
Well, we thank you, and we appreciate you taking the time to meet with us today via telephone.
Absolutely. All right, well, thanks, guys.
Thank you. Have a nice day. Okay.
All right, bye.
Bye. I think we're down to Chet Parsons. Is next?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Chet. How are you?
Great, great. Thank you for having me. I was going to give an update on the Group 1, the Huntington Street Flooding Mitigation Plan.
Correct.
So we are, I'm with AECOM, and we are working with MS Consultants, primarily with Salim and Bethany and the City of Huntington to look at a pretty complex situation with the nuisance flooding and associated issues related to standing water near the overpasses with the CSX rail line, as well as 3rd and 5th Avenues. We are underway. We're working closely right now with the Sanitary Board of the city to assess current conditions and looking at a lot of GIS mapping and existing data that's available, both stormwater related as well as travel related. So the next steps in our process, we understand that the next meeting for the technical committee is April 26th, and we are excited to be able to provide a more in-depth update at that point. We're also coordinating with Salim and Bethany to talk to the policy board that same week. And then we've set up a stakeholder committee that will meet March 10th. I heard Allison mention March 8th, so it's going to be a busy week in Huntington. and then our team will be staying to have a more in-depth field view of all of the current issue spots the following day on March 11th. So we're excited to have everyone together at that point to talk about the issues. As I said, the data collection we're working on right now, working closely with Sherry Wilkins with the Sanitary Board to get an understanding not only of the geographic information, but past reporting, past issues that have been reported to the Sanitary Board, the Emergency Services Department surrounding the region, and other groups, to have a more in-depth understanding of the history of flooding issues and the impacts that it's had on not only the roadways themselves, but the travel and the commutes of local residents. So we're working on those understandings, and the next steps in that regard are to develop both a travel model based on the work that Kimberly Horn is doing right now, and a stormwater model to make projections and estimates on what future issues might occur and how we can best come up with recommendations to avoid those instances. So, again, we're excited to be working on the project. I apologize for not having more of an update, but this is where we are, and I'd be happy to take any questions that the group might have.
Doesn't appear that we have any questions at this point, Jeff.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you again for the opportunity. Thank you. Looking forward to seeing you in March.
Okay. Looking forward to it too.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Number 5 on our agenda is, looks like we're celebrating a birthday.
Yes.
USDOT celebrates 50 years.
And we have the cake.
And have a birthday cake. Is Salim, are you singing happy birthday? No?
Linda is awesome.
No, that's me.
Beth?
No.
Please eat the cake.
Maybe Jody should say.
You guys ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to take it out of the kitchen.
I recommend that you help me modernize and streamline the federal government by creating a new cabinet-level Department of Transportation.
President Johnson, he was a grower. He wanted to grow things. And thought it would be a good idea to have the Department of Transportation.
This is one of the most essential departments within the U.S. government.
The United States wouldn't be where it is today if it hadn't been for the effort that created the Department of Transportation.
Travel is so critical to every one of us.
The transportation system moves products all over this country. It's responsible for many manufacturing jobs in this country.
Everything we eat, clothes we wear, everything we do occurs because of transportation.
We wanted to be a country that had the best infrastructure in the world. The only way to accomplish that was to have a dedicated agency known as the Department of Transportation.
It's our job to protect and to educate.
This is a community function, and if it doesn't work for the entire community, the transportation system doesn't work.
Every secretary who served this department since it was created recognized that the responsibilities here were outside of the partisan concerns.
Transportation should not be partisan.
I develop friendships across the board.
There are no Republican or Democratic roads.
It's much more than concrete, asphalt, and steel. It's about people.
How can you make the greatest difference for people while you're in this job? That's what it's all about.
We were very aggressive on safety regulation.
Safety will be our number one priority.
Safety was always the number one issue.
It was our North Star, by which we were willing to be judged in every fashion.
We really are public servants.
Take on the tough issues, and then gather a great team of people to work with you.
We could have never done this without the professional career people at DOT who show up every day and do good work, because that's what they do. Strong ethics, that was just emblematic of what I found at the Department of Transportation.
Many of them are here because they want to make a difference, and they do so on a day-to-day basis.
A lot of us who become secretaries of transportation assume the job of inheriting what had gone on before us. So I've got to give credit to Alan Boyd as the first secretary of transportation.
And we really left a structure and good policies that are available for the present and for the future. This is the greatest honor I've ever had. I'm happy that I was a part of it.
I was elated to have the opportunity to do the job.
We are given this opportunity by the president to serve the people of America.
It was once in a lifetime opportunity, and I wouldn't trade any minute of it for anything.
What a privilege it was to be the 11th Secretary of Transportation.
I don't think I ever dreamt that I would have the privilege of serving as U.S. Secretary of Transportation.
The 6 years I spent at transportation were really my most satisfying.
Happy 50th anniversary, Department of Transportation.
Happy 50th birthday.
Happy 50th anniversary.
Happy 50th anniversary.
Happy 50th anniversary.
Happy 50th anniversary.
Happy birthday, DOT, on the Big 50.
Happy 50th, US DOT.
Well, that was nice. Okay, it looks like Bethany's going to be our server and cut the cake.
Everybody has the opportunity to see the cake, by the way, it was... you can look, we have the DOT logo. You see the DOT logo?
Yeah. Somebody should take a picture. Jody's
one. No, I did not. No.
Jody, did it say Jody made that cake?
Yeah.
Right. Straight from Kroger or somewhere.
We can come and eat now.
For a whole year, they're celebrating the 50th anniversary, not just like a week or a month. So if you go to the website, thetransportation.gov/50, there's all every week there's something new. So this is the website. So if anybody needs to would like to present something for USDOT presentations or videos, this is where you look at that. So.
Nice. Very good. That's exciting. Okay. Well, while we're waiting on our cake, but we'll move on to the agenda. Okay. Item number 6, amendment number 3 to the Kiowa FY 2016-2019 TIF. Salim and Jody?
Yes. Actually, I think you have the, all the project list and we'll move back it. We received a request from West Virginia Department of Highways, PTA, National Bus System, and Kentucky Cabinet to amend the TIF. As you see, in the West Virginia highway project consists of resurfacing, bridge replacement, and addition of center lane, bike and pedestrian, design study, installation of an elevator. And it seems to me all these projects, none of these projects will increase capacity based on policy FR 93.126. That means all projects in this category are exempt. If you look at the list, first of all, on the first page, most of the first few projects are resurfacing, but the most important project really to show here was Virginia 10. That basically adding center lane. As we know, the West Virginia 10 is a part of the currently adopted 2040 transportation plan. And as we know, as April 6, 2015, this area no longer required to conduct conformity for 1997 ozone. But still the requirement, when the requirement were to demonstrate conformity built 40 CFR 93.109 still applies, but wouldn't have to do any regional emission analysis for this project. And all these projects really met the public participation requirement and also met the interagency consultation procedure. In the second page, also really, in second page, we have two projects. We need to take it has to be in the TAP. It's the TAP project, one for City of Huntington, 3rd Avenue and 10th Street Improvement. It is the same project, but the one that is engineering and the next phase is the construction. If you flip the page for Wayne County, We have really as in the list the last two projects really it is for in Wayne County Heritage Farm access study or design study, and we're gonna add the project for the Tri-State Airport, basically that installation of an elevator and sidewalks. If you flip the page, also that for Kentucky Cabinet we need to. We have a group project list. One for intersection channelization project and traffic signal installations. Then we show the map, the location of these projects for the amendment number 3. If you keep flipping the page, that show that TTA request to amend the TIF. We have in the list, as you see, we I think if you look at the revenue rolling stocks versus 30-foot buses, that's we adding STB TMA money for 1.2 million, or 1.6 million as a total cost. And also the last project on the list, or before the last one, the bike racks. Bus GPS tracking system with the total cost in the range of 3.2. The last in the request that for Ashland bus system, revenue rolling stocks, purchase buses. And Jody, if you want to add, and Derry.
Yeah, for that, Mr. Bushy, a funding table. Other than that, that's seemed to be a good job explaining all those projects. Ohio, we had some emergency projects. Going through better statewide line items, so nothing for the amendment process there. So those are taken care of there after DSR numbers.
And we need an action to add these projects into our TIF, then then we can allow our local sponsors to act on this project and proceed.
Need a motion to approve. Randy? Okay. Do we have a second? Randy and Randy? All right. Well, thank you, Randy's. All in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? All right. Well, thank you very much. All right. Item number 7, presentation of the Kiowa FY 2017 Unified Work Program.
I think, yes, I think that's really the thick documents, relatively thick documents, double-sided. It is FY 2017 Unified Planning Work Program. If you flip the page, really, just wanting to make your life easy a little bit, if you flip the page, it says, show abstract. In the abstract, it shows this work program covers all the 3 states, and also to help Kiowa to meet the DMA requirement. In this work program, there are joint elements between the 3 states, and also we have a state-specific works element. The first draft, it's due on March 4th. That has to be sent to West Virginia DOH, Kentucky Transportation Cabinet, and OMA. And the final draft is due on May 2nd, 2016. That means really we need to give you enough time to review this document. If you have any comments, you can supply these comments to us. In the abstract, it shows basically what's the need of the work program, and supposed to begin on July 1st, effective 2016 and in June 30th, and also the emphasis area, almost consistent with the requirement of the FAST Act, fixing America's surface transportation. In the table of contents, I show you the joint elements for the 3 states. And also we have a state-specific, as it show that we have we have Lawrence County Transit Study, and Lawrence County Non-Motorized Study. That's 381517, and we have a Transit Study, 38113. Really just, I will give you enough time really to review and go over the document. And it was some of the elements of this work program was on the website, not everything really. Now we have everything on the website. And that's the work program. It's an annual document. It's nothing new for this committee.
Selene, why don't we do this? Give everybody a few minutes to look that over, yes. Take a break, and have some cake.
Yeah, yes.
Then we'll come back and we'll take a vote.
Yes, yep. I agree. Totally agree.
Why don't we take I think we're a little ahead of schedule, so we can have time.
Yeah, let's have it there.
Let's have cake. Sound good?
If anybody wants any.
I like cake.
I don't think so. Terry's the one that did most of it, or was doing most of it, so she probably know more. Terry.
All right, so Terry. Come on, guys.
Terry.
Let's eat some cake.
Terry.
How are you? Come on, Randy. Let's have some cake. Jennifer, would you like some cake?
But Lawrence,
actually, most of the joint elements except for Ohio, we have two states except for Ohio.
Yeah. How's RTI? Just fine. Good to see you, man. Come see us.
It's more like the emphasis area came from ODOT, actually, from Ohio DOT. The focus on the best act, the best if you look here, if you look at the last three books, here the emphasis area for FY17
is very well understood.
And you can not
What?
Did you bake the cake?
Mm-hmm. I worked all night on it. It tastes pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Very tasty.
It looked good, right? Just had to have that cake.
I love cake.
Oh, I'm gonna pass. When we come back, can you also say I'm gonna pass this around for anybody that didn't? Sorry, we just keep piling things on.
I know, it can be worse. Yeah. I'm gonna need sponges. Get all the sweat off my brow. Alright, Jennifer's laughing at me.
We did adjust the temperature. That would be my fault.
Hey, Celine. I just turned on the hunger.
Sorry. I'll come over there.
It's not any good. I figured you'd take me out. Sure. Yeah. Go do your nails.
You're looking at your car, at the car.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure I didn't get too close to the intersection.
Oh, yeah. Nah, you should be fine.
Yeah. It's weird. I'm going to ask him about why it won't back up. Yeah.
Well, it just, like, wouldn't go exactly how you wanted it to.
Yeah, it wouldn't, like, go back up a little, and then, like, it wouldn't, like,
push
the pedal, and it won't do anything, no? But, I mean, I'm still, like, 3 feet from the car behind me.
Huh. That's strange.
I don't know if it's, like, a safety feature, or if it's just the, like, it is a little muddy there, so maybe it's just getting stuck in the mud.
That's strange, though.
I think that would be the case.
Hmm, that is strange. Yeah, I definitely get that checked out when you get back.
Online, yeah.
So, we need a motion to approve, move forward, the Unified Planning Work Program to the Policy Committee on Friday. Do I hear a motion?
I'll make a
motion. Okay, we have a motion by TTA. Is there a second?
Second.
Don't be shy. Thank you, Thomas. All right, all in favor say aye. Opposed? Thank you very much. All right. Item number 8, SLAME. Remaining responsibilities to the TMA requirements.
Okay. Me and Terry just have a start and see that she can complete. As you see on the screen, just really kind of, as everybody knows, Cuyahoga designated as a transportation management area in July 18, 2012. And with that designation, really, it came with a few requirements to meet that to meet the requirement within 4 years. And to show you here in the map, show what's the TMA coverage. Basically, it covers, as you know, roughly two and a half counties in West Virginia. We have Wayne, Cabell, and Putnam. One county in Lawrence, and two counties in Kentucky. As I show you here, basically, there's a few information. The TMA population, 202,637,000. And the MSA population within the TMA, through the whole counties, is 365,000. If you go to the next slide, Josie, basically, with almost we completed most of the requirement of the TMA. The first basic requirement, the congestion management process, that completed back in January 2013. And something really still in progress. We need to integrate the transportation plan. Currently, we operate under two transportation plans, one in Huntington, one in Ashland. And the goal really to integrate these transportation plan. And we are in the process to do that. And we expected to complete this process by spring 2017. The expectation to be strong emphasis on the freight planning was that the new transportation bill that focus on that field. Also, we completed the designated recipients for 5310, 5307, 5339, 5340. That's FTA transit programs. Hopefully, we will complete the travel demand model, the integration, that it help us really in the, with the integration process for the MTB. As I show in the slides, we expect to have the certification review in April 19 and 20. That really, that's the exam day. That's going to test Cuyahoga if we meet the requirement really or not. Basically, the focus will be on the civil rights, Title VI, environmental justice, step process, public participation, congestion management process, and the safety. And Terry, go ahead.
Well, really don't have a lot to add. Just as Salim said, that we're working with each of the Federal Highway Administration. Chandra's been helping us here. She's been taking the lead with the West Virginia West Virginia Federal Highway Administration. And so she's been leading this effort. Our review is going to be April 19th and 20th. We believe we have set the date for our open house on the 19th. I can't remember if it's from 4 to 6 or 5 to 7. But anyway, in the afternoon, and at this time is where we would like for our partners and the public to come in and provide comment as to the services that we provide to each of the agencies or to the public. Of course, we want a good review, so please come say nice things. But if we're falling short on something, you know, we also need to know that so we can correct those in the future. Like I said, we've got a listing of about 17 or 18 things that they're going to try to highlight through the review. First, it's going to be a desk review, and they'll be sending us information or questions, which we'll have to answer paper. And like I said, it's a joint effort through all the three FHWA agencies. So, like I said, I wish I could say we're looking forward to it, but but you know, we're anxious to find out how well we're doing it to make sure, you know, once we want to make sure that our performance is what it should be, and if it's not, we need to make sure that we address those issues, make sure all of our plans are in order, and you know, like I said, our service to you all—that's really what we're here for—is to service the regions for our transportation area. Just trying to think if there's anything else.
Just really, we need to make sure the transit provider to be at the certification date. Because we expect them really to come and testify, I think. And basically, we expect TTA to be at the interview. We'll let you know at what time you're supposed to be there. TTA, Ashland Bus System, and Lawrence County Transit System. That will be the first day. I think Chandra should provide the schedule to us, then we'll let you know at what time you have to show up, and you can really ask you questions. And I don't know what's the nature of the questions, but hopefully we know them in advance. Yeah, Chandra, she speaks more about that day.
So yeah, we have a very large review team for the TMA. We've got three states. That includes three FHWA divisions, three FTA divisions, and three DOTs, as well as all the transit agencies, two MPOs. It's a big, big undertaking, and it is the first TMA certification that has happened in West Virginia. It will be the 19th and 20th. I believe that we do have it scheduled for 4 to 6 for the public meeting. This is honestly a review of the MPO's planning processes and so how people feel that they're being served. So it's not a come and I say, you know, I want this project to be done. It's about the entire planning processes and how Rick and Kiova both are serving the needs for the community. So I encourage you to get the word out to people, to have them come during the public meeting. The process for the 2 days is also open to the public as well. So if people want to attend the actual certification reviews during the days, anybody is welcome to come to that. We will have an agenda with approximate dates and times for when we're going to cover certain topics, so that if you only want to come for a certain portion of it, then you only come for that versus coming for all of it if you're not concerned about it. My email is on the website if you don't have it already. I have cards as well if you need it, if you have any questions or anything like that. And we're looking forward to this. So, and we'll have questions to you all hopefully by Friday. So almost everybody's gotten their questions to me. So, yeah. They're a lot smaller than what it was when I first showed them.
Yay.
Just I want to stress really that the transit provider, transit is the backbone of Kiowa, I mean, the planning process. And we rely heavily on the and TTA, and Ashland Bus System, and Lawrence County Transit System. Really, we need you to be, make sure you will be available.
Work on this lane.
Otherwise, if you don't show up, we're going to come.
We'll be here.
Okay.
I can't speak for Mike and Randy, but we'll be here. I'm sure they'll be here too.
And don't forget Doug.
I'll probably be here too.
Doug will be here too.
Can't get rid of
it. No worries.
Doug, I have a question for you. Don't leave it.
Run.
I'm running.
Okay.
Good food brings a lot of people.
Yeah, food.
So we'll try to accommodate that.
Just the same. I can be bribed with food. So.
Okay.
Any questions about item number 8 on the agenda from anyone?
Okay, item number 9, FTA's 5310 transit program. Terry is going to give us a report.
Well, we've been working, Cuyahoga's been working closely with TTA, the designated recipient of the 5310 program. Recently had another application for the Golden Girls out of West Virginia to that applied for funding for vans and a small bus to transport the girls from their home to whatever the services that they need to be provided to. That's in the works right now, but also to make sure that they were included in that, we had to amend our coordinated transportation plan, and that was actually done kind of in between these two meetings. We approved it at the last, the January 29th meeting, and they were included in with that amendment. And so in order for them to apply for 5310 funds, they're required to be, their name be listed in this plan. So we did that, and that's what they were able to move forward to apply for funds. I think we are still looking to have, there will be another funding cycle soon, you know, in the near future. I don't have the dollar amount broken down, but there's still funds that Jennifer may have the dollar amount, but there's enough for that. But if you have any agencies are interested in that, you know, come see either, you know, Bethany, myself, Paul, or Jennifer. We can get applications out and make sure that you might be able to be eligible for funding. It's to provide, it's really the service to provide for disadvantaged and elderly individuals transportation and handicapped. So if you have any need for that with your transit service or an agency, then please get a hold of one of us. We'll do that. Anything else that you want to add? I mean, we've been coordinating a lot of this with TTA. Yeah, we do some of the legwork, but they do a lot more too. So.
And we have distributed our first vehicles to Tri-State Industries over in Ironton, and those vehicles are now in service and being used. We have one that we're still waiting to work out some details with the Huntington Housing Authority, which Charlie Hawley kind of instigated before he left. But we do need applicants, and so, you know, folks from CISO and other folks that deal with the seniors and the handicapped. That's what this program's for, and so we do need applicants. Most transit authorities are eligible because they have a paratransit component, and they deal with the disabled, and so we do need applicants. It's been one of the toughest things that we've had with this program so far, and I can only speak from West Virginia's point of view. The program was operated or ran by the state of West Virginia up to a point for the boundaries of West Virginia. Now that we're a TMA, and they can spread those vehicles and dollars around all over the state, but now that we're a TMA, these dollars are coming here, and we don't really have the applicants. So I'm putting out a commercial here. We really need applicants for this program, and we've expanded the coordination plan of who's eligible. The list is a lot bigger than what it was before because we need people to take these vehicles. It would be a terrible shame, and it's going to happen if we don't get people to apply. Is that money's going to go back to FDA, and it's going to be redistributed to someone else. So our community needs it, our area needs it, and so if you're having contacts with the senior services folks and other people that deal with handicapped and disabled seniors, they need to comply.
And if they're not on the coordinated plan, they just need to let us know, and if they're wanting to, then if they're eligible, then we'll put them in the coordinated plan. It's a little bit of a wait period for the public participation part of it, but we'll do whatever we can to make sure that it's taken care of.
Hey, Paul. Yes. Ask you a question. I know you guys are, you and Terry, you guys are digging into this more and more, and that's what we do. We run seniors all day long through our demand response service. Is there any chance that money's ever going to be able to use towards operations versus capital vehicles? Do you think you see that, or have you? I've never seen that anywhere, but that's what we need.
Technically, that money can be used for operating funds, but it's difficult because if TTA or the TMA gives you the operating money this year, and next year there's other projects and we take the operating back away from you, then we just ruined your program. it's easier to do capital projects like vans and radios and things like that.
We've always done.
Which what we've always done.
Just only a percentage of the total amount can be used for operating.
Yeah, it's only a percentage. You still have to match. I think it's, well, operating is 50%.
Probably, yeah.
Well, on capital, it's 80-20.
80-20.
But we can do infrastructure, for example. Facilities, bus facilities.
Oh, I was just throwing out the health.
I'm saying beyond, beyond, we can do construction, like property 310. Like if you need, like for example, sidewalks related to property 310, if you need a bus shelter, or you need a facility, that would be funded. It can be funded through property 310.
Anything that will connect to those services, you can use. Yeah. Like bike rack. I mean, you know. Bike racks, kind of.
It's not a huge amount of money, okay? It's about $200,000 a year, but we still need to expend the money. You know, so several vehicles, and the money can be sandwiched together if we had to over like a couple-year period. So if we had a really big project that we wanted to do, it could be, we could take the 2 years and put it together if we needed to. Okay, well, we're down to item number 10. Transit systems update, and Lawrence County Transit Authority is up first.
Well, I mean, the first thing I want to report is on the fixed route side. Tremendous amount of thanks to TTA, did a wonderful job. Our express service is over last year was up almost 20% ridership, so we're really pleased about that. On the demand response side, you know, obviously, once again, that's what we do. We run seniors and disabled all day long, but we're in good shape. You know, we have four of them right now. We will need some replacement vehicles probably within the next couple of years. We had some need for a couple of buses. We had some 5339 money that we need to use, and we'll have two small LTNs coming in April to kind of help out the demand response side. Other than that, that's about it for Lawrence County Transit.
Okay. Well, if I'm going to jump ahead here, since I'm listed next, Brandy, then you can be next. This is TTA's year that it has to be, the levy has to be renewed. And so we need everybody, if you live in West Virginia and in Campbell County, to vote for TTA. If you live in the city, you get to vote twice for TTA. It's one of these things, you get to vote early and vote often. There are a number of other ballot levy issues on the ballot. None of them are asking for increases. This will be a continuation of what we are doing. So we need your help. We need your support. Jennifer's passing out a Q&A, kind of a little brochure that we put together. I will tell you this. This is the most important thing that we're doing at this point in our juncture. If the levies fail, TTA fails. There will be no TTA if the levies fail. There is not enough money. The levy will produce about $4 million a year. We get about $1.2 million from FTA, and the remaining comes from what we operate on is out of the fare box. So if I lose the $4 million out of the levies, then we won't have a bus system at night. That's just the way it is. And we run scared. That's the reason it's so important that everybody gets out and votes and tells your family and friends. There's like, last year TTA had 940,000 boardings, 200 a day riding the paratransit. And so those are your friends and family. If you don't live in the area, but you know people that do, or your family does, your grandparents do, some of your elderly folks, it's important. And I can't imagine, Huntington tried to be without transportation at one time in the early 70s, and it was almost a disaster for a couple of years until they put it all back together again. So it's important. I can't go on enough about that. Don't get tired. When you go to vote this year, it's going to be a huge ballot. You got everything going on. You got the president, the governor, all of your judges in Campbell County, the magistrates. Everything is there this time, and all the other. So, most of the time, the levies are in the back of the, toward the back, or they usually are the very last thing. So don't get tired. Go all the way through. Vote yes. Vote for the TTA, and that's all I'm going to talk about. Now, you want to talk a little bit about Route Shout while you're, or what's our next project that we're doing?
In the meantime, we're also preparing to roll out our app, our Next Bus technology, hopefully in April. So you'll be able to look at an app and see, based on where you are in the next bus that'll be coming by, what time, where are the places to catch the bus, and so forth.
Yep. So you got a smartphone, you'll be able to just look right on your phone and see where your bus is. You don't know more of this going out to the corner and waiting 15 or 20 minutes or wondering, is that bus coming? Am I here too late? Did I show up? You know, did I miss the bus? You'll know exactly where your bus is. And so as part of that component, the whole ABL, it will do automatic stop announcements. So the drivers now technically have to manually do the stop announcements over a PA system. But as the bus approaches the stop, then or the area, the PA system will automatically generate a stop announcement for the ADA. It's going to be a pretty nice thing. So we're really excited about that. You're going to be hearing lots more about that as we get into March and get closer to April. Our kickoff date is April the 4th, unless something goes sour. But that's our target date. So that'll be really exciting.
Who did you work with to get this done?
Route Edge is the contractor.
So we had
kind
used...
I was curious.
Route Match has always, not always, but the last 10 or 15 years has done our CAD ABL for our paratransit. And so we just extended that contract to do the fixed route buses. And kudos to Kiowa for helping us. Under STP and under that program, we were able to get some additional dollars to do it and do it right. So it was really appreciated. Randy?
What change of tip? We got permission from the state to order for the state contracts, so we'll be pursuing versus a couple more bids. So.
Okay.
There's a whole lot going on there.
Well, now that the allocation tables are out, Randy and Mike will be coming out with our split letter. And so for the money
table
for the.
Table 3 or something that's been posted to it.
Yeah.
It wasn't the last time I looked.
Table 3A has not been. That's what we need. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Anything? Quick questions for the transit authorities? Good deal. Well, item number 11. Kiowa studies, and it's a brief project updates and informational session. So, Tri-State Airport project should be the first thing.
We can have Jerry. I think Bethany, she can give us briefly about the access study. I think almost Jerry about the elevator.
Okay, well, I'll go ahead and go first with the airport since that's on here, and then we can do the access. Okay. We are working with the Tri-State Airport for their one of the projects they have to install an elevator at the airport. And I think most of us have been out at the airport. You know, you have to walk up those big flights of stairs, and so this will install a set of elevators to assist for, you know, ADA accessibility and for other, even though we're not ADA yet, we will be probably someday, and that we can get our luggage and ourselves up there to the terminal. But we're working with Jerry Barenza, and that we're hoping to start the project July the 4th. They're going to have some engineering on it and then construction phase. The last report we had that once you get the engineering done, the construction shouldn't take that long. So we don't have a completion date yet because we don't have the engineering study, but we're hoping it is. It's included in the TIP amendment, so the dollar amount is there with that on the second page of your TIP amendment. Working with Rob Watson and West Virginia DOH as to making sure all the funding is in place the correct way it should be to make sure that everything's allocated for them. I think that's about it that I know of.
Okay, very good.
As you know, we're working on the Tri-State Airport Access Road Study. Allison talked about that a little bit. We're having a steering committee meeting on March 8th, late in the morning. So we'll be getting that group together. And we'll be sending out an email soon. For the people involved in that, so apologize, didn't get it beforehand.
Okay. City of Huntington, Bree.
Yeah. So basically, I just wanted to make sure everyone knew the Old Main Corridor project's moving along. The section you may have noticed between 10th and 12th is now complete. We're just finishing up some invoices there. The next phase being the Old Main Corridor improvements from 7th to 8th. Again, those include some streetscape improvements and continuing it down that way. that is in partnership with the state. My colleague is meeting with Michael Baker today, which is helping with that project, and we're requesting a match through our community development grant funds currently. And in general, just the city is coordinating with RTI and the Pathmaster plan process. And I think I was just trying to check the date, but I think that's March 10th that there's going to be a public meeting for the Pathmaster plan. Anyone is obviously welcome to attend that and provide input into the next years of coordinating path.
Very good. Anything? Any questions for Bree? Bethany, we're going to go back to you on the Hauger Road safety improvements.
There's not a whole lot of update on that. StanTech is working with the state on this project, and it seems that they have done they did a site review in early January, and I think they're just gathering some data to assess the intersection at Columbia Avenue and Hal Greer, and then they're also installing a traffic signal at Boulevard Avenue, and I don't think it's quite complete yet, but it's in the works. It's almost done, I guess.
Very good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to jump across the river and go to Kentucky. Thomas Witt.
Okay. One thing I wanted to talk about was our new six-year highway plan, and you may remember last year we actually looked at all of our needs across the state and worked closely with the MPOs to see what kind of projects we need, this MPO plus all the other MPOs around the state. And we developed a scoring system to give an idea of the technical merit of each of the projects that were examined. And all of that culminated in a draft six-year plan, which our governor presented to the legislature in January, and they're currently reviewing that. They'll probably make some changes to it, but we expect it to have final approval by April. That's the normal timeline. I did want to pass around a couple pages from that plan that shows the projects in Boyd and Greenup counties, and you could just take one and pass them around. And that way you can see what's currently in the proposed plan. I will say that it's a pretty lean plan because, you know, with the fuel prices down, our gas tax is actually tied to the fuel price. So our revenues are down quite a bit from what they were during the past year or two. We also have a lot of maintenance needs, and I think about 15% of the funding in the plan is going towards bridge preservation and replacement projects. So actually, as far as Boyd and Greenup counties go, I don't believe there were any new projects that came up. Some projects had shifts in the funding. You know, the funds were pushed out to future years, or I think with one project, funds were actually advanced forward. So anyway, that's what we're looking at now, and we should have something final by April. And I will mention, too, that would be a good time, once we do get the final plan, to reevaluate the MPO's priorities, because there is the possibility of using the dedicated STP funds for the Ashland area to support high MPO priorities that didn't make it into the six-year plan, as long as they fall within the amount of funds that are allocated. So that's something we can reevaluate later this year once the plan is finalized. And the other thing I wanted to talk about was our ADA transition plan. We're working on a statewide ADA transition plan, and that's just to prioritize areas that are in need of accessibility improvements, such as adding sidewalk ramps and that sort of thing. And we're still in the early phases of that process. But one thing we are asking for help with from the MPOs is that you provide us with a list of transit stops so that we can use that as part of the prioritization process. And I've talked to Terry and Salim some already, so hopefully we can get those by the end of June.
That's only for Kentucky?
Yes, just for Kentucky, that's right. And that's all I have to report.
Okay. there's a column on this. If you look down, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
It's a good year for you guys. 26 instead of 16, so don't get your hopes up too high on that.
With the commuter stops, when you're talking about transit for the commuter that we're running through Ashland and Green up and over, are those going to be included?
Well, should they? We probably will, and we'll have to put some kind of annotation on there that they're not
Just a few. Mainly the center, their transfer center, and then there's a couple of there at Catlettsburg, I think, where we're stopping.
Now you go up to the river, don't you? Go up to the Walmart. Walmart up there.
I don't know if we're still doing that or not.
You're not doing the Walmart anymore.
We're not doing that anymore. It's more of a commuter. It's up right up 23.
Originally, it's with King's Daughter and Walmart.
Okay.
Yeah, we're just basically going to the station, and then coming up 23. But I think we got to stop there in Catlettsburg because there were several people asked to do that.
We'll make sure they're included. We'll get
they were jumping right back on Route 60 coming in.
We'll make sure that they're
included. Let me just say that ADA transition plans are a huge push for us this year. So as you're developing all of this, just go ahead and do it for the 3-state region. Save yourself a little bit of time and effort for trying to have to backtrack.
Okay.
Because this is going to be, coming down as a huge priority from federal highways. So if you don't have a transition plan and you are an agency that's responsible for transportation, you need to get one.
It's supposed to be for full-time employees over 50, mm-hmm. I think. So if you're under 50 employees, then you're exempt, but it's still a good idea to have one.
Right. And it doesn't have to be a huge document that requires you going out to get a consultant to develop it or anything like that. It can be as simple as looking as to what your state DOT has and, saying that you were going to, follow along with that, or, some very simple things as when we redo a sidewalk, we're going to make sure that, the curb is ramped so that wheelchairs and, other ADA people can get up with it. It doesn't have to be a huge multi-page plan. You just have to have, at very least, a policy as to what you're going to do. But you should look into doing a little bit of research and figuring out what that is going to be and working with your other partners in the state to see what's going on.
I think that was a requirement since 1992, was it? It's been in place for a while.
Nobody's starting
to enforce it.
Federal Highways is starting to, we're going to start enforcing these things, and your funds will be, contingent on making those happen. Specifically, the states more so than anybody else, but that obviously flows through.
We did, in 1992, TTA did an ADA transition plan, so if this is part of that, it took like 5-6 years to make sure that we were totally in compliance, and so
So if you already have one, just taking a look at it and seeing if anything needs to be updated might be all you need to do.
There's some bus stops that with shelters that we probably need to work on to make them more accessible.
Yeah.
And we might work with Bree and the city and try to make that happen. Okay. All right. What else is next? Boyd County and Greenup County's project update, Terry and the cabinet.